Well, this story of Jesus healing the leper is actually in three Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But this morning we're going to look at it in Matthew 8. And to start with, we're just going to take a look at our Bible reading this morning together. So if you'd like to turn to Matthew 8 in your Bibles, we'll have a look at it together. When Jesus came from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Thank you. Well, leprosy as a disease is mentioned 68 times in the Bible. If you don't know, I've been learning these last few weeks. Leprosy is a bacterial disease. It affects skin and nerves mainly. It spreads through droplets from your nose or your mouth, so sneezing or spitting. And if untreated, leprosy leads to permanent damage. If we can go on a slide, please, Chris. I'll be honest, and starting to prepare for this short talk, I thought, well, there can't be much leprosy left in the world today, can there really? Well, I was wrong. Today, someone somewhere in the world is diagnosed with leprosy every 2 minutes. In the last year, through to May 25, there were 182,000 new cases of leprosy diagnosed. 107,000 in India, 22,000 in Brazil, 14,000 in Indonesia, and even 3 cases of leprosy here in the UK. It is now curable. Back in the late 40s, early 50s, the first drugs for treating leprosy were developed. They worked well for a while, and then the leprosy bacteria adapted. And there was a long period of about 20, 30 years where leprosy, again, was not curable. But in 1981, they came up with a 3-drug combination that allows leprosy to be successfully treated. The World Health Organization say that in the last 20 years, 16 million people have been cured of leprosy. I've put the web address for the leprosy mission at the bottom there. You know, we're going to talk about compassion a little bit later on. And one of the things that's really struck me as I've prepared is that there are people in the world still dealing with this horrible disease and all of the consequences that come with it that we're going to look at in a minute. So today, if you did one thing as a result of this talk, I would encourage you to go and give whatever you can today to the leprosy mission, who are doing amazing work around the world. But this morning, we're going to go back and look at the situation of this man with leprosy in the Bible. He's there right near the start of Jesus' ministry. So what did leprosy mean for him then? Well, first of all, it meant that he was untouchable. No one would go near him. In fact, under Jewish laws, no one was allowed within 6 feet of him. And if the wind was blowing, that extended to 150 feet. Okay. He was excluded from his family because they couldn't come within 6 feet of him. He was required to live alone. He couldn't live with his family. He was unable to work at all. He was excluded from the temple or the tabernacle. He couldn't come, as we've done this morning, and worship God with others. He had to identify himself as unclean. Now, a little smile came to my lips when I saw that, because in my office, we have little cards on our desk for the cleaners, and the front side says, "Clean," and there's a picture of a happy, smiling face. And when I came in one morning and found that these had been put on our desk, I was so desperate to turn it over and discover that it said unclean on the other side. I thought that would have been great, but it doesn't. It says, "Please clean my desk," on the other side. But in Bible times, this was no laughing matter. You literally had to declare yourself to be unclean. You had to tell people as you were coming. He had to cover his mouth. And in ancient Jewish law, in the list of things that were regarded as defiling, that meant that you couldn't come and worship God, leprosy was at number 2 on the list. The only thing above it was touching a dead body. This reminded me, as I read about it, of the view that many people in the world held of those people with HIV and AIDS back in the 1980s. Maybe even reminded me a little bit of some of our COVID rules a few years ago as we were all isolated from each other. Charles Swindoll, in one of his books, explains that in Bible times, curing leprosy was as difficult as raising the dead. Isn't it interesting that the man we see curing leprosy is also, today is also the man who raises the dead? So leprosy was a death sentence. You'll be very glad that it's a short talk today, because if it's been one of our normal services, I would be about to go into Leviticus with you. And we would be looking at Leviticus 13 and 14, which set out in 13 what to do if you were diagnosed with leprosy, and 14 what to do if you were one of those rare and fortunate people who recovered from leprosy. It was long and complicated. There was a sacrificial process. Each element of the sacrifice meant different things. Again, I bet you're glad it's a short talk today. Something that's important for us to understand is that leprosy was seen as a punishment for sin, not just a physical affliction. If you had leprosy, an assumption was made that you had done something to deserve it. So our passage today, if we can go on to slide 3, please, Chris, is the first recording of Jesus healing with somebody with leprosy, but not the last. There are lots of others as you go through the Gospels. So we're going to look at what happened, and we're going to start with the man, and then we're going to go to Jesus. The man says 3 things. He says a lot less than he did in our video clip, but I understand that that's dramatic license. He said 3 things. First of all, he comes to Jesus, and he kneels on the ground, and he says, Lord. He comes with an attitude of worship. He doesn't come as a challenge. He doesn't come as a, let's see what you're made of. He comes and instantly he's on his knees. Lord, he says to Jesus. Secondly, he says, if you are willing. So this man doesn't doubt Jesus' power, doesn't doubt that Jesus can heal him, but he does accept that it is Jesus' choice whether to heal him or not. And thirdly, he says to him, you can make me clean. This man with leprosy believes that Jesus can heal him and remove his problem. And of course, it's not just a physical problem. This man has got a physical health problem, but he also has a whole set of social and relational problems that flow from him having leprosy. And he also has spiritual problems. He can't even go and worship at the temple. So we see this man, he comes. He comes and he basically just says, Jesus, here I am, you see me. Will you choose to heal me? And then Jesus responds. Jesus responds in a really shocking way to this man's request. We saw it on the video that all the disciples looked really taken aback, didn't they? They were all a bit horrified and very uncomfortable. The first thing that Jesus does is he reaches out and he touches this man. He touches someone who is untouchable. It reminded me, I don't know if you will remember, if you're as old as me, Diana, Princess of Wales, going into a hospital and reaching out and holding the hand of an AIDS patient against the advice she'd been given by everybody. She went in and did that. Interestingly, Diana, Princess of Wales, was actually a trustee of the leprosy mission. And there are many photos of her doing the same with patients with leprosy around the world. So Jesus touches him. Can you imagine what that would have been like for someone who no one is able to touch? He can't ask for a hug. No one can come stand close to him. No one can support him. And Jesus just reaches out to him immediately. Jesus then goes on and instantly heals him. There's no washing in the Jordan, as per Naaman in the Old Testament. There's no reflect on your sin for a week, as there was for Miriam, Moses' sister. Jesus heals him immediately and completely. And this is Jesus who can forgive sins as easily as he can heal leprosy. Do you remember his words to the man who was let down through the roof by his friends? Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees went crazy. Jesus said, well, that's not really very difficult, is it? And then probably healed him as well, which is just wonderful. I like sometimes Jesus is so nonchalant about the fact that he has this amazing power. And finally, Jesus sends this man, who, bear in mind, till 30 seconds ago, has been a man with leprosy and untouchable. And he says to him, right, here's what you're going to do next. He gives him practical instructions. And those instructions include the fact that he's not to tell anybody. But Jesus isn't looking for glory or for fame. Jesus isn't healing people because he wants the kudos. He isn't healing people because he wants people to put him up on a pedestal. Jesus heals this man willingly because he loves him. Simple as that. And in all the Gospels, we see this. Jesus again and again heals people. And there are many times where he says to people, you don't need to go and tell anybody. It's like, I did this for you. I didn't do this for me. I did this for you. Now, we need to understand this in the context of what else was happening. So earlier that day, Jesus had been coming down from the mountain, and he'd been up on the mountain with thousands and thousands of people because he had been sharing what we call the Sermon on the Mount. So radical, world-changing teaching from Jesus. I like this. Jesus talks the talk, and he comes down the mountain, and he walks the walk straight away. So for this man, Jesus is life-changing. I hope you would say that for you, that Jesus is life-changing. This man was alone and hopeless. If we could move on aside, please, Chris. Thank you. One more, please. Thank you. He's shunned. He's shamed. He's pitied. He's isolated. And he feels excluded. I don't know if you've ever felt any of those emotions. Not a good place to be. Jesus heals him and his life is changed in an instant. He is healed. He is restored. He is forgiven because Jesus deals with sin as well as sickness. He is accepted. He is reconciled. He has the opportunity for belonging. And in this wonderful healing action of Jesus, this man knows that he is loved. So what do we take from this morning? Well, 2 points for us. First of all, if Jesus could heal this man, then he can heal and restore you. Okay, can I say that again? If Jesus can heal this man, he can heal and restore you. And secondly, we are told that as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, we are to be like him. Do you remember the "what would Jesus do" bracelets that were a craze when I was even young? I wonder this morning, if you reflect on your behaviour this week, are you showing the compassion and love and focus of Jesus for those who are struggling? Or are you feeling somewhat world weary? Maybe feel that you've got some compassion fatigue. We were talking in our little group here about sometimes how difficult it is to know how to help or what to do, so we do nothing. The world is desperate. What are you doing? Is my question. In your giving, in your praying, in your actions, what are you doing? Have you maybe lost some of that heart that Jesus gives us of compassion to others? But I want to come back to us again, just as we close and before the children join us. If you could go on a slide, please, Chris. I've just got one question today, which is for you and for me. What do you need from Jesus right now? This is Jesus Christ, miracle maker. What are you afraid of asking him for, in case you don't get the answer you want? What do you think might be too much for you to ask from Jesus today? Too bold, too arrogant, just over the top for you to ask from Jesus. We see people come to Jesus again and again and again, and their question is always the same. It is, as the man with leprosy says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. People come full of words, or they come wordlessly throughout Scripture and ask that of Jesus. As I've been preparing this, I have a picture in my head, and I don't know who it is or how many people it is. But I'm hoping, having heard this morning, some of us are sitting here and you can feel that question in your head, or you can feel it in your heart. What do you need from Jesus today? So if that's the case, at the end of our service, please come and let one of the elders or Angela pray with you. We don't need to know the details. We don't need to know out loud what it is you're asking Jesus for. But we will pray for you, and we will ask Jesus to step in and step up to you and to touch you and to heal you. So I know that sounds a bit scary, but if this morning you can feel it right now here, or maybe you can even feel it in your tummy, that sense of discomfort of knowing that there's something you need, please come at the end and take some time to be prayed for and to let Jesus know. He knows already, of course, but we're told to come and ask in faith.